Yo, I put it like wow, this that sound. These oaks don't work hard like me, I hope they know by now. Bayo Bear, stand my ground. Throw these money trees, go overseas like Percy Tau. I make sure you stay around, quiet when I'm under loud. No negatives allowed, me positivity took a vow. I always play to win, don't anticipate loss. Mind always in the cloud, my boy, never think about the drop. Never ever ever think about the drop.
Welcome to it, sports fans. It is the MKT show. MKT show. I'm MKT. Hope you've had a good week, good weekend, good day, good evening, whenever you're listening to this. Hope it's going good. Hope you're winning. Hope you are winning. I hope you're not like Chelsea. At the time of recording, they've just drawn 2-2 against Sheffield United. No shock. No shock there at all. Not to me, anyway. What are we going to do today? It is right, wrong, where I was right, where I was wrong. And then the next Liverpool manager seems to be a conversation, which confuses me, but it seems to be a conversation. I think there's only one candidate. I'll tell you who that is. And then I'll give you my thoughts on Pochettino. I'm a big Chelsea fan, for those who don't know. And I've got some thoughts. I've got some thoughts. And concerns, grave concerns, which have been growing, especially after about 25 games. Ugh, I don't like it. So that's all we're going to talk about today. MKT Inspires, if you want to slide in the DMs. Otherwise, it is, of course, MKT at the MKT show, should you want to get in the DMs. Or if you want to just get in touch with the show. Get in touch with the show. So I want to start off here. Had to make a bit of a call this week. I was supposed to do a 100 miler in about 20 days or so, but some stuff has popped up for work, which means I would have to make some decisions. So no longer doing a 100 miler, but I'll do another big race this year. Maybe two. I'd like to do two, really. We'll see how it goes. Got some travel coming up in June, July, and August. So, could be tricky. Maybe zero. Hopefully two. Got to do two. Anyway, keep training. Did some resting this weekend. I usually do my long runs. And I made the call on about Thursday, Friday with some stuff that's come up for work. Ain't going to happen. It just ain't going to happen. End of April. Was supposed to be doing UTD. Ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. I don't feel crushed about it because I like that I've gotten into good shape. I've laid a good base. So whatever the next race I do, I was thinking June, but I'll be in London. I'll be in London in June, won't I? You were in London, aren't we? I'll be in London in June. Can't happen then. Who knows? Maybe I'll do a race overseas. I mean, I'm going to be in Europe for a while. In the European summer, South African winter. So we'll see how it goes. But made that call. So I'll keep training though. If anything, I can get in the gym a bit more now. You know, I was trying to stay out of the gym to get the running in the legs. But I'd like to get in the gym. Get a bit stronger. It's something I got to do. So there's that. There is that. It's not terrible news though, because there's some cool stuff coming up for work. I'm talking to some people about some very fun stuff. I tell you who you don't want to deal with is the Olympics, by the way. Oh my goodness. I don't even know if I'm going to the Olympics anymore with them. It was supposed to be with the Olympics. Oh my God. Bureaucrats are so painful. You know what I think it is? I think there are certain people who, and it doesn't have to be money. Like, when they're young, I think most bureaucrats are these people. Because it takes a while to become a successful bureaucrat. And there are only so many seats at the table, you know. But if they don't win in life, and I don't mean like sport or anything, but, you know, some people win at life. They just get it. They have friends. People like them. If you're a guy, all the girls like you. all the gents want to be your mate and all the girls want to be with you and vice versa if you're a lady, right? And I just think with bureaucrats sometimes, it's like people made my life horrible and now I'm in charge. So it's like, and I like rules. I do believe in bureaucracy in order to create systems that work, because I believe in systems, you know. I do think rules, high quality rules, are important. But when people start to become a bottleneck, right? Systems are supposed to make us more efficient and more nimble. Like when you work within a system, you can actually do more stuff. If you understand a system, you can manipulate the world around you. But these people, oh my God. Listen, I love the Olympics. It's about as serious as sport gets, right? For me, it's like, it's the pinnacle. Football is my favorite sport, but the Olympics are like, that's a serious deal if you're a sports fan. Oh my God. There's a level of taking it serious, and then there's just like carrot up your backside stuff. Oh my goodness. So who knows what's happening with the Olympics? I'll be at the Euros though. Definitely going to the Euros, whether with UEFA or not. Definitely will be in Germany. So if you live in Germany, shout out. I'll be there from the middle of June. Be in London, be in Germany, and then we'll see. TBD. TBD. I would like to be at the Olympics though. I've never been to the Olympics. It's a dream of mine to be at a Summer Olympics. And to be honest, I'm 38 in a month. Do I get too old to go, you know, as a lad? Like I'm still, it's probably, the stuff I'm doing in the next couple of years is probably the last time I'm going to do it as a lad, you know? I mean, 40, 41, probably settling down in the ideal world. Life is not ideal though. And I am a workaholic, so maybe I'll just be the same guy in 42. Like, whatever. Life's good. But I don't really have a long window to do the stuff I want to do. And people go, oh, but you can just take your girlfriend with you. Can you? Can you go to the Euros for, like, can you go to Europe for 3 months just to watch sport with a wife? Can you? Yeah. You know, people say, oh, just find your dream partner. Of course you can. No, you can't. It's not how real life works. It's not a movie. Like, unless she is besotted with football and watching swimming. Like, those people don't exist. And if they do exist, some guy has already married her. Surely. There's no way anybody who would want to go to the Euros for 2 months and then go to the Olympics straight after that for a month. Or 3 weeks, who's a woman, is single. There's no way. Or they are single. You know what I mean? Like, they are choosing, like I am choosing, to have life experiences. It's not really a, I want to take my girlfriend or wife thing. Because people in relationships have expectations. And fair enough. Like, if you're in a serious relationship, part of it is, I heard a great saying. Somebody said something to me. Oh, it's my good old rabbi mate. He said one I haven't heard before, or hadn't heard before. He said, you know, most people in life, through the narrative of film, and because we always talk about film narrativizing human relationships in the modern age, and obviously another part of film is social media. You know, everyone has to be the perfect mom, the perfect dad, the perfect, like, hey, if you're not doing this and your baby's crying, you're a terrible mom. It's like, not really. Like, you're fine, you know, unless you're a monster. 95% of human beings are great parents because they're just doing their best. But he said to me, you know, people are always looking for solutions. But he said, through his life counseling people and, you know, being who he is there are no solutions, only compromises, which I've always lived that way, you know. And I do live my life that way. Like, I don't believe there is a solution. We're always all just compromising all the time. Nobody is happy 100% of the time. They're lying. Social media is not real life. I just want to let people know this. And also, I know people and have been in relationships. And I have family. Like, no one's happy. No one's happy 75% of the time. And I want to be clear, I don't believe in happiness anyway, maybe for a different podcast. But there is no way. In fact, it wouldn't be a reasonable ask to say, hey, do you want to go to London to watch some baseball? And then after that, go to the Euros for a month. And then after that, go to the Olympics for another month. Try and ask, like, if you think your relationship is the best relationship in the world, and you know those people who are like, oh, I don't understand why people aren't as happy as we are. If you're a guy, go and ask your lady to say, hey, do you want to go and watch soccer for a month? And then, you know, I don't know, synchronized swimming for another 3 weeks. See how that works out. See how that works out. Because people have lives and jobs and whatever. So maybe, as I'm talking through it, actually, the more I'm talking through it, just stay single is what I'm thinking here. What, 50 and single? 50 is too late to have kids, eh? 50 is too late, I think. What's the cutoff? That's the question. What's the cutoff for a guy? Like, I'm relatively fit. Hopefully, at 45, I'll be as fit as a 35-year-old, you know? What's the cutoff? 45 is too old to have kids, eh? What's the cutoff for a lady? I was just thinking about this the other day. Like, I'd say I'm pretty close to my cutoff. Oof, I mean, 38 this year. 40. If I don't have kids by 40, that's 2 years' time. I'm going to be a 60-year-old dad when he's or she's 20. That's tough. It's tough look. Anyway, I don't know. I don't know what the cutoff is. I don't know how old my parents are, really. Like, I don't really remember my parents. They were just working the whole time. So maybe I could just be a workaholic parent, and who cares? Who cares how old I am? Anyway, point is, probably just single. It's the way to go. If I just want to live my dream, because I've got lots of things I want to do. The British and Irish Lions next year. I still want to go and watch the British and Irish Lions in New Zealand. And that's not one way you can take your girlfriend, by the way. Because I want to be out there. Just because I don't drink doesn't mean I don't want to be in the mix. For that one in New Zealand, I got to be in the mix. All three tests, by the way. I'm not sure I can go for the whole tour. There's no need for 3 months. That British and Irish Lions tour seems brutal. Just go for the 3 weeks of the test match. Maybe 4 weeks. That last dirt tracky game, and then you go for the three test matches. That's the one. But that's, what's that, 8 years away? Because it's all 9 years away. Australia next year comes back to South Africa. Then only does it go to New Zealand again. Blimey. So much to do, you know. Oh my word. I'm so busy. It's so hard being so popular. A friend of mine's sister once said that to me. Hysterical. I said, oh my word, my life's so busy. It's so hard being so popular. I nearly die. I nearly burst out. My stomach nearly burst. I laughed so hard. All right. Let's get into the show. As I do every Monday, I tell you where I was right, where I was wrong. If it's your first time listening, welcome. I make predictions. Big calls. Not scared to have a go, you know what I mean? Got to put yourself out there. Got to be emotionally available as well as available in general. You know, you got to be physically available. But this is more emotionally available because I make predictions and I don't mind if I'm wrong. And then every Monday I'll tell you where I was right, where I was wrong. Okay, let's get into it. Where I was right, Casemiro is done. There's no legs. And the game he had against Liverpool was maybe even worse than the one he had against Chelsea. He was horrendous. What? I mean, I called it. I'm like, 60 million for a 30-year-old who was a cart horse at Real Madrid. But at Real Madrid, you had Kroos and Modric, so it's fine. Don't worry about it. Just do the dirty work. Now he's just a dirty work guy in the most physically demanding league, in its most physically demanding period ever. It's never been faster. It's never been more end-to-end. It's never had better athletes. It's never been a hybrid of technical and physical quality like it is now. The English Premier League is just too much. You can't come in there at 30, 31 as a cart horse and think you can be able to keep up. And Man United made the same mistake they made with Bastian Schweinsteiger, by the way. Because Basti was doing the same thing. He fell off a cliff. And Bayern Munich, again, the only mistake Bayern Munich have made in the last 15 years is releasing Toni Kroos. Should have paid him, should have kept him in-house. But other than that, they don't really sell unless a guy they know in-house that It's over. I was dead right. Casemiro, he's finished. Where I was wrong, Kai Havertz, he's starting to look like it. He's starting to deliver. He can play in the nine. He's a false nine, but he can play back to goal. He's got a nasty streak in him, and now he's starting to finish. I mean, now we're getting into the business. This is what Chelsea paid for. Arsenal are getting it, though. I was dead wrong. I thought Kai Havertz's time in England was done. I was dead wrong. Kai Havertz looking like it. Where I was right, I don't get the Marcus Rashford hype. I have never understood it. I've never understood it. Outside of cutting inside and shooting, I really don't get what it is. He doesn't chase back. He has no work rate. And now he's sulking. And you made him the highest paid player at Man United. He's just a crybaby. Like, Marcus Rashford has become the worst. It's why I don't watch the NBA anymore. Spoiled brat. I do not do spoiled brat. Like, Marcus, you get paid the most. That means we expect the most of you. Problem is, you've paid him now. How are you going to sell him? It's the same Maguire problem. Here's the other issue. Don't pay mediocre great money, because this is what happens. Marcus Rashford, absolute disaster. And I told you, I said this. I said when they paid him, I'm like, what is going on? I don't get the hype. I don't get the player. He's not a top six player for me. Not in England. No chance. Absolutely no chance. What a crybaby. Can't. Marcus Rashford, get him out of my face. Where I was wrong, Enzo and Caicedo. What are Chelsea actually getting in those two players? I thought Caicedo might be a number six. He's clearly not a holding midfielder. And then Enzo Fernandez, did he just benefit off getting to pass the ball to Leo Messi? Because I don't understand what he's good at. He's physically weak. He can't run box to box. And he doesn't control the game. So if you can't play at those three, so he can't play in the six, he can't play in the pivot, and then he doesn't get in the box in time to score goals because he doesn't have the physical tools to get there. What are Chelsea actually getting for 120 million? What does he do? I was excited about both. Caicedo, I'm not sure. I think he's a number eight who played at six at Brighton in a fantastic system. So I'm not sure whether Pochettino's playing him in the right place or not. But what did Chelsea get out of these two? I was so excited. Chelsea never ever control, with £250 million in midfield, give or take, they never ever control the football match. That can't happen. That cannot happen. I don't want to hear about injuries. It cannot happen. Where I was right, the other problem is Conor Gallagher technically is a 90s style English player. He's a kick and run, passion merchant. And I like Conor Gallagher. I really, and by the way, I want to address this one. Not a racist incident with him. He clearly doesn't see the young boy. He taps him on the shoulder. I thought that was vile. It was vile for people to suggest Conor Gallagher is racist. He hasn't ignored him. You haven't watched the video, or you're on a hair trigger, because I take that topic very seriously. Completely vile to suggest that at all. Taps the boy on the shoulder. He clearly doesn't see him, and then hands him the captain's armband afterwards. So just want to dismiss that. But I don't think Conor Gallagher is good enough to be in a top six club. He's just not technically good enough, especially when it has to get clever and you've got to play in a phone booth. As you've seen, you know, Rodri can do it, Grealish can do it, Bernardo Silva can do it. When you've got to turn it around the corner and you've got to do that clever stuff to absorb pressure, he can't do it. He can't do it. And he's not a fluid athlete either. So it's even worse that his biggest trait is his athleticism. That's not fluid. So he's got effort at this level, I'm afraid. You've got to be giving effort. Like, I don't want to. I hate when people say, yes, but he gives it 100%. Everyone should be giving 100%, unless you're Leo Messi. Like, he is the only guy in football history, right, who is allowed to float. Not even Ronaldinho. Like, Ronaldinho couldn't float. He wasn't that level. Conor Gallagher, not good enough. I was dead right, and he's shown that for me. Lastly, where I was wrong, I thought Luton would be the worst side in the history of the Premier League, like Derby bad. Not only do they play great football, there's a good chance they're going to survive. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with Everton because they couldn't... Listen, they couldn't balance a bloody teaspoon on their finger. Forget about a balance sheet. So we don't know what's happening with Everton. Luton play great football. They are in the mix. I really like that young manager. I think they've got a manager... He's a modern-day manager, sort of in that Eddie Howe, you know what I mean? Nagelsmann. These new young managers play clever football, and they really do know how to set it up. And I think I was dead wrong. Luton are a proper force and play fantastic football. Not everybody does that when they come to the Premier League. Luton have been brave enough to do it, and I was dead wrong. I thought they would be the worst side in the history of the Premier League. They have not been. What a story, and let's hope they stay up. Absolutely fantastic. That is where I was right. That is where I was wrong. You know what makes me sad? The Premier League's nearly coming to an end. So there's only 7 games, depending who you are, 8 games left. Man, at least we've got the Euros this year. There's nothing worse than a dry June, July, you know? Ugh, man. But at least there's Euros this year. Thank goodness. Like, AFCON's not good enough. I'm sorry. Like I'm not doing Uhuru, I'm African. Like, that's not good enough. The whole thing's a shambles. The production's horrendous. Just everything about it. It sucks. The pitches suck. The coaches, everything sucks. It just feels all over the place. Sorry, I'm not doing Nelson Mandela, let's come back to each other. AFCON's not good enough. That's not good enough. The only good, proper tournament is Euros. We can't watch Conan Ball or whatever, Copa America, because the time suck, and then it's got the same problem as Africa, right? Just get it together, guys. It's a shambles. The football sucks. I can't watch Copa America. I just can't do it. Unless it's the final and it's Brazil, Argentina, and even then, I'm not waking up at 2 a.m. I'll wake up for the NFL, right? That's a product. That's slick. I want value. I have too many options in my life. The Euros are slick. And whatever. You can get into your own reasons as to why the Euros is the best. I'm sure everyone has a thought as they raise their fist in the air. You know, I get it. Amandla, you guys, on my word, the history. But sorry, get it together, guys. In South Africa, we should have Euro and Champions League and that level, because our facilities are that good. By the way, a lot of people don't realize this, but a lot of the Premier League players for their summer training do it in Stellenbosch. They do it here. Our facilities in this country are world class. So don't give me that. But thank God there's Euros and then Olympics. Oh, my goodness. So we don't have the Euros. That's going to carry us into the Olympics. Obviously, we don't watch. There's no need to watch Olympic football. It's always boring. But at least we've got the Olympics. And that's going to actually carry us back into the Premier League. How great is that? Oh, my goodness. Oh, heavens above. Thank God. And then next year, it's British and Irish Lions tour. Although, I can't remember what the dates are. But I'll be in Australia for that, man. Be Australia. Australia. So, I got a pretty big... Listen, I'm on a pretty good run right now. Rugby World Cup last year. Euros this year. Maybe Olympics pushing. And then next year, British and Irish Lions. With more to come, by the way. I was in a very interesting meeting this week. Next year could be... In fact, sorry. This year might still be popping after the Olympics. I was in a conversation where it might be popping after the Olympics. I might be on a... Listen, I'm in a bit of a purple patch right now. Who knows? Who knows what's happening? Who knows? Hold thumbs if you believe in that. It doesn't mean anything. Hold thumbs. What does that mean? Well, why do people say good luck? Is that just to be polite? I don't believe in luck. Did you prepare or not? Are you good enough or not? So, am I good enough or not? We will find out. Stay tuned. Stay tuned. Jurgen Klopp resigned, hey? What did he say? I'm running out of energy. I'm running out of energy. I get it, Jurgen. Get it. You've put it all in. Heavy metal. So, the latest topic of discussion in the football world is who will be the next Liverpool manager? Who will be the next Liverpool manager? So, Jurgen Klopp will be replaced after 8.5 years at Liverpool. And the big question is, who should replace him? Who should replace him? Here are the contenders. The first guy I don't really know because I don't watch Portuguese football, Ruben Amorim. I've read a little bit about him. I haven't seen any sporting games, not a single one, to be completely honest with you. Because I also don't watch the early stages of the Champions League anymore. It's too much. Just give me the elite stuff. Super League. Just give me the Super League. Just do the Super League. Roberto De Zerbi. of course, of Brighton fame. And then Julian Nagelsmann. Those seem to be the front runners according to the bookies. Those are the top three to become Liverpool manager. And, you know, it's kind of like when you've come out of a great relationship. You know when you've had a great girlfriend and then you have your next partner and it's like a year and a half in and you're like, man, it's not quite. And you're doing that dangerous thing where you're always trying to replace. Now, you're speaking to, listen, I am a man who hit it out the park. I've only had two girlfriends. I say two girlfriends in a row, like it's been six. I've only had two serious girlfriends. My first girlfriend was unbelievable, way out of my league. My second one was even, in my opinion, listen, it's tough to say better because they're both such incredible humans and very hot, by the way, both of them. Listen, I don't get it either. Like, I've looked at myself in the mirror and I've thought about having both of those girlfriends and I thought, what happened? Like, what happened? What was wrong with them? For them to drop as low as me. Anyway, story for a psychologist if I ever see one. But you know, I've been that guy. Like, I've always tried to not look for the characteristics in the next partner that I saw in them, because they were just stellar. Like, it was like 2 5-star, like former professional athletes, both doctors, you know? Like, that's tough to find. And also like family centric, just all the things I like in people. And we all do this, right? We carry that baggage into the next relationship, or even into the prospectus for the next relationship. And I have to be honest, I've done it. But I think Liverpool must be very careful of this. Because everyone says, we'll just get the next Jürgen. There's only one Jürgen. There's only one Jürgen. You can't have your first girlfriend where you weren't ready and you meet her again. It doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. And here's what Jürgen, and I said it when Jürgen got hired. What I loved about him is he embodies Liverpool. Because the most important thing is the connection to the fans in football. Nothing's more important to players I've played and managers. Like, if you want to get it humming, like Fergie, Mourinho, you've got to be your club, because the team becomes the personality of the manager. And the manager's personality has to match the city. That matters. That matters what area you're from. Jürgen is Liverpool, the underdog, the hipster, with an ego though. With an ego, working class, but we gave you the Beatles. You know, that's Liverpool, mate. What I would say for Liverpool is you need to decide which Jürgen Klopp characteristic or ethic you want to replace. Don't worry about replacing Jürgen. That's doing too much. If your girlfriend was a 9 looking and she was a particle physicist and she snowboarded for her country and her family is great, can you get two of those? Can you get two of those things in the next one? Because asking for the whole thing, trust me, it's too much. Doesn't exist. So Liverpool needs to be very, very clear about which characteristic from Jürgen they want to. Is it discipline? Is it passion? Or do you want somebody with that personality? Can't have all of them. You can have the discipline, you can have the passion, or you can have his personality, which is very stern, actually, underneath the playful man. For me, there's only one correct choice, because it's the easiest characteristic to look at and just place in. It's Hansi Flick. Why is Hansi Flick not he should already be hired. Because what that's going to allow you to do, and if you're a Man United fan, you'll know this mistake that United made. What that's going to allow you to do is to transition from Jürgen, a 9.5, a 9, to whatever's coming next. So let's say Hansi Flick is a disaster, but he is, you know, he's not going to come in and be swallowed up by Liverpool. With Amorim or De Zerbi, it could happen. Happened to Potter, happened at United, it's happened to two managers at United. Moyes, I mean, you saw it. So you know with Hansi Flick, you're getting the discipline. So, because that is the one thing, is when the discipline drops off, and part of discipline is standards, right? That's what happened at Man United. That's what happened at Arsenal. Once those drop off, everything else tails off. So if you can maintain the discipline with Hansi Flick, you can find the next personality person, right? Because he'll infuse the steel, and in 2 years' time, you just get the next guy. And then now the youngsters, Harvey Elliott, you know, these new guys, is it Kwanzaa? All of these new guys have that steel in them from Hansi Flick, and they understand that I'm part of something bigger. Because it's very, very dangerous. You saw what happened with Man United. You saw what happened post-Mourinho at Chelsea. You saw what happened post-Wenger. It's been 20 years. 20 years. So one thing that's unique about Jürgen and Mourinho and Wenger and the great Sir Alex Ferguson is you're not just losing a football manager, right? What you're losing, it's kind of like when countries lose a dictator. The power vacuum is so great. And the cult of personality can't be replaced. Because before you replace the systematic stuff, we can get anyone to do that. There's lots of pen pushers. But it's actually getting people to believe in it. And that's what we call cult of personality. That's what the dictators have. That's what great leaders have. It is a cult. Like Elon Musk has a cult of personality. Joe Rogan, cult of personality. Alex Ferguson. You go through it. Oprah. That's why these people can step into positions and lead, because they have the what the youth call the aura. That's what Jürgen's got. Not only has he got those other things, but then he's got the cult of personality. That's not so. That's the most impossible one to replicate. That's what Arsenal have learned. That's what Man United have learned. All these guys have Pro A licenses. All of these guys are tremendous coaches. Not everybody can get top class people on board. Hansi Flick certainly can do that. He'll tell you, I've been at Bayern Munich. Don't tell me about Liverpool. That's a pipsqueak. Maybe you've heard of Karl-Heinz Rummenigge. Maybe you've heard of Arjen Robben. You heard of these guys. Frank Ribery. Maybe you've heard of these guys. He'll tell you Philipp Lahm. When Trent Alexander-Arnold starts acting up, he says, brother, I managed Philipp Lahm. We're not doing this. Manuel Neuer is my goalkeeper when Alisson starts to act up. That's who I won a treble with. So are we doing this thing or not? That's really, really important to consider. The next guy has to have that discipline. He's got to be able to discipline the dressing room. And Hansi Flick is that guy. It's got to be a stable transition. Hansi Flick doesn't need to be the long-term solution. But don't make the mistake that Man United, Arsenal, and Chelsea made. Don't think that you can do it off vibes. There are no vibes. Great things don't happen by mistake. Great things happen through hard work, steel, discipline, and a ruthlessness. By the way, one thing Jürgen is, ruthless. Quick story. Mamadou Sakho was late for a pre-season meeting. I remember the interview where Sakho came on while Jürgen was being interviewed, joking, and Jürgen said, this is the last time it'll happen. And he was gone before the season. Playful, but there's steel under there. Great things don't happen haphazardly. They just don't. Mediocre things, decent things can happen, yes. Great things don't. And what Jürgen's created has been unreal. Unreal. Beyond any Liverpool fan's dream. Considering how far down they were, I mean, he's not Mourinho. He's not Sir Alex Ferguson. He's not Pep Guardiola. But it's been spectacular considering what he took over. Hansi Flick is the right choice. He's the only choice. Discipline, Listen, discipline is the hardest thing in the world to do, but when somebody has it, it's a replicable characteristic. It's the easy, really, it's copy-paste. You don't have to like disciplined people, but he's going to come in there, there'll be order, and they'll understand that, hey, we do it this way. And that's good. It's important. It's important to not fall too low. Because Man United and Arsenal fell through the trap door. They thought, the problem with believing your own hype, right, is believing your own hype. Because Man United and Arsenal thought, oh, we're Man United and Arsenal. It'll last forever. What are people talking about? We're a massive club. No. Man City and Chelsea said, no. No, that's not how it works at all. That's what Nokia did. Samsung and Apple said, no. No, sir. That's not how it works at all. What is the old adage? Yesterday's price is not today's price. Yesterday's price is not today's price. Liverpool had better be very, very careful of not falling into that trap. Hansi Flick, the only correct choice. The only correct choice for a massive club that won't swallow him up. It is Hansi Flick. Would love to hear your thoughts. MKT Inspires, if you want to slide in the DMs, if you're a Liverpool fan or not, if you're just a football fan, who do you think should be the next? A friend of mine said Thomas Frank. I said, stop playing around. And I'll be honest, I don't really listen to too many football podcasts. They aren't really any good ones. I like more fan channel stuff. I really love that. If I could transport one thing to South Africa about the UK is football fan culture. I love the British way of just living football. Like being in South Africa, you don't really get to live football, you know? Like I live football. I chat to all my, you know, I've got some close friends who really, really like football, but they've got other stuff going on. Like in the UK, you can just, like one thing I miss is just living football. Like for me, football is my life. I love it. My mom and my sister know football is my favorite thing in the world, and they are a very close second. They know that. Like I'm not going to do the, my family, of course. Like, no. My favorite thing in the world is football. My family is second. And I don't want to be PC guy. Like, oh my God, you should always say your family. Like I love my family. I do. And by the way, I'm really lucky. I really love my family. Hopefully they love me. But that's the one thing I miss about living football. You know? You got to live the game. Like Monday to Monday. Monday to Monday is football. Because in my mind, by the way, all the time, like I don't really have other interests. Like I like science. And it's not an escape for me. It is another pleasure. Like I love genetics. I love human behavior. So neuroscience, I love that stuff. So I'm always consuming that, but it's like football, but it's second to football. I want to be very, very clear. I love football, fitness and everything. And then football, like, can we put that in the mixer? That's my holy trinity. Football, fitness, football. That's three different things. Cause I said three different words. So there's that. Miss that. Miss living football. I wish I could just transport that to South Africa. It's a pretty, pretty rad place to live. Pretty rad place to live. I enjoy living here. Weather's incredible. Man, the weather's good. That's one thing. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it again. Having lived in Canada, Russia, and the UK, that weather's so brutal. And I don't ski anymore. Like I'm too scared to, because I get pretty wild on a snowboard. So I'm too scared to get injuries because I just love running so much. So what would I do in grim weather? And I don't go to the pub. I don't do pub. I don't do nightlife. What would I do? I'd go insane. Absolutely insane. All right, let's finish off on this. Maurizio Pochettino, another draw. Drew to Burnley. Beat Man United, that's not an achievement anymore. And then drew to Sheffield United in the last minute. And I wasn't shocked. Look, 31 games in, and there's still no playing style with Mauricio Pochettino. You know, there's no structure, defensively or offensively. I'm not sure if Chelsea are a pressing team, a mid-block team, low-block team. Like, how are they planning to get the ball off the other team? Because I'm not obsessed as a Chelsea fan now with the results. But I'll tell you what I saw with Arteta, Klopp, and Pep. The pattern of play is quite simple. You know, don't try and be too clever. Football is a very simple game. The great Johan Cruyff, what did he say? Football is a very simple game, but playing simple football is the most difficult thing in the world. Football is a very simple game. Put the ball in the other team's net. But in between the boxes, right? What they call pattern of play, for those, like, pattern of play is just, how am I going to get the ball to our attackers to create the most chances? That's all pattern of play means. How are we going to get the ball from the back to the front to create chances? That's it. What does that look like? Right? Because at that level, by the way, there are rehearsed moves. That's why some people feel European football feels too robotic, because it literally is rehearsed. They run between 8 and about 9, 8 and 11 plays. So when I was younger in academy football, we were running between 4 and 8 plays the whole time, just recycle. But at the top level, these top players, they can do up to 20, by the way, because they can invert the playbook. Like, it's just at that level, when you know what you're watching, you see it, right? These top players can do, like, they can memorize 20 patterns. Remember, at that level, those guys can, and I mean at the academy level, we're expected to do this, so it's not that amazing, but at that level, they can change formations without the coach telling them. The players can decide on the field, all right, we're going to go 3 at the back, 5 in the midfield, for whatever reason. All right, let's flood the middle, let's go 5 narrow, and then the wing backs will go wider. Like, these top guys, it doesn't really need to be discussed. 2 or 3 of the leaders can do this. So that's the pattern of play. How do we get the ball to the striker as many times as possible to create chances? That's it. What is that going to look like? And defensively, it's the same thing. When we don't have the ball, what are we going to look like as a team? Chelsea just do not... It feels like Chelsea will just get the ball to Palmer and hope something happens. And you know, with Arteta, Klopp and Pep, even in their first few seasons with Arteta and Klopp, and for Pep in his first season, although they didn't get the results, and for me, again, with Pochettino, it's not about the results. It's like, oh, I can see what you're trying to do with and without the ball. Oh, that's what you're trying to do. You just need better players. You just need more time with the players for them to believe that this is the way to win. Ah, I see it. With all three guys, the gegenpress, with all three guys, get the ball. I think what's Pep's rule? Is it 4 seconds that they must get the ball back in order to recycle it? Man City. And that's Pep's rule, right? I think it's 3 or 4 seconds. I forget what the time period is that Pep wants the ball back once they lose it. They have to hunt it. But you could see it. You could see in the first years, it's like, oh, okay, Arteta, that's what he's trying to do. Okay. And now he's got his guys, and now you're seeing what he... With Maurizio Pochettino, the players aren't going to change next year. His coaching isn't going to change. It's hugely concerning that after 31 games, I can't see... They played Sheffield United today. It's clear with Chris Wilder what they're trying to do. Compact without it, expansive with it. Quick break. And if you're a Man United fan, I would suggest you're in the same boat as Chelsea are. And I don't want to hear about injuries. Injuries have nothing to do with your principles of play. Principles of play never change. Doesn't matter if you're playing deep with youngsters, whatever. What are your principles of play? Are you going to be compact? Are you going to be tight? What is the gap between front and back? Or the little, so, you know, if you watch the great teams, like Man City, the gap between the striker and the center back, that distance, right, will be 15 meters at most. That's called being tight. That's called being compact. That's called being a team. And it'll be even narrower when they're defending. But there's shape. You can see with Man City, there's a shape to what they're doing. With Real Madrid, there's a shape to what Carlo Ancelotti wants to do. There's a way of getting the ball to Vinicius. there's a way to isolating defenders one-on-one. I mean, as you get into the coaching and into the play, it gets more idiosyncratic. But basically, you should be able to see what a team is trying to do. It's 31 games in. Chelsea aren't, they haven't progressed at all. Not one iota, which has nothing to do with the youth or the transition. That's got nothing to do with that. Because Chris Wilder, in 2 months, has a very clear style of play. A very, very clear. Iriola at Bournemouth, very, very, very clear style of play. It is very clear what he's trying to do. What is Pochettino doing? Is the tactic get it to Palmer and see what he can do? It is embarrassing with that talent to not have the tactical flexibility to get it right. It is absolutely embarrassing to not be dominating Sheffield United and Burnley. It's embarrassing. Chelsea could come 12th. 12th. And I'm sorry, like, Conor Gallagher's not good enough. To persist with him in midfield, I'm not sure what he does. Scoring goals isn't enough. Effort isn't enough. I'm sorry. That's the Scott McTominay. He puts in, he leaves it all on the line. Like, I expect that. Steven Gerrard left it all on the line. Frank Lampard left it all on the line. Kevin De Bruyne leaves it all on the line. Like, their effort levels aren't to be questioned. You don't get, in my world, you don't get prizes for effort at the creme de la creme level. That's for high school and for your mommy. Like, this is big boy school. Like, Conor Gallagher doesn't get, he's a Chelsea lad, so he gets away with it. Sorry. That's never been hard work. And Chelsea feels so loose. Like, his whole thing is meant to be discipline and drive. There's nothing like that. And then between Enzo and Caicedo, you know what? I'll be honest. I see the same player there. I see the same player, and they don't have a number six. Why isn't he getting a number six from the academy? I don't hear that Lavia's injured. Okay, get a specialist number six from the academy. Like, if Erik ten Hag can find Mainoo, you can find somebody who can do that job. Because Conor Gallagher cannot do that job. Conor Gallagher is a number 10. And then you've got two number eights. Chelsea's midfield is so wide open. Plus, neither guy is actually very good at controlling the game. So I just don't know what's happening there. But the coaching is horrendous. For me, Pochettino's got to go. And get rid of him now. Like, by the way, this is Chelsea, not Tottenham. Who cares if you're in the cup final? This is not Arsenal. This is not Man United of the last decade. You don't get moral victories here. Like, Arsenal fans are all about the moral victory. Like, we back our club. There are no moral victories at Chelsea. Like, three Champions Leagues have been won in the last 15 years. In fact, in the last decade, what am I even saying? In the last 11 years, three Champions Leagues. So let's not do moral victories. We don't do that at Chelsea. It doesn't matter if you're in the FA Cup. Pochettino should go now. And again, if I'm Chelsea, Hansi Flick is the guy to get. Just get some discipline and some shape. Like, the one thing about Hansi Flick that I loved at Bayern Munich, and that's the last time Bayern Munich were humming, by the way. After Jupp Heynckes, it was Hansi Flick, and then it's been a shambles since. You know what they're going to try and do. You know the types of football they're going to try and play. It'll be very, very clear. Super high gegenpress, right? And it's got to get direct, and he plays direct. He's German. He is about as German as he gets. Hansi Flick. Yeah. Pochettino's got to go. I'm sorry. And, you know, I've been saying keep Poch for 2 years for the stability factor so that Chelsea don't become the club that hires and fires like they did under Roman. But listen, I know ladies are better at this than guys. Don't double down on mistakes. Doesn't matter if you got it wrong twice. Okay, so what? Move on. Women are so good at that. In my experience, women are so good at, I made a mistake, let me move on. Guys have this thing where we've got to hold on and, like, justify the decision. Like, women are so good at, oh, I made a mistake. Out of here. Okay, let's fix it. In fact, I hate these shorts. I'm taking them back. Guys will try and justify everything. If I'm Chelsea, get rid of him now. You might as well give Hansi Flick the rest of the season just to see what's what. You're not getting relegated. You're not getting Champions League football. It's a wasted season. But the players aren't changing this season. And the coaching isn't going to change. So I see no reason for Pochettino. There is no hope for this team. Like, passion is not a real thing. Passion follows results. For me, he's got to go. It's over. And I want stability at Chelsea. I want to replicate Liverpool and Man City. But I'm afraid, no, this isn't it. It's over. It's been awful. It's Lampard bad. It's as bad as when Frank, and that was ghastly. Second season of Frank Lampard is the worst Chelsea I've ever seen. But Chelsea are close now. They are close. It's like get it to Palmer and just hope. What are oh, man. So for me, he's got to go. If you're a Chelsea fan, I'd love to hear what you've got to say. But for me, Maurizio Pochettino has to go. And he must go now. The season's over. It's Chelsea not getting top four and the Champions League is a wasted season. This is not Tottenham. This is not Arsenal, by the way. This is not Arsenal, where the way you play matters more than results. This is Chelsea. This is the premium club in Europe, right, over the last decade. It is the gold standard for England. Before this Man City dynasty was Chelsea. It's not Tottenham, where people are happy to participate. I'm afraid that ain't it. And that ain't going to work. Because here's the thing. Chelsea can be awful without Pochettino. So what's the point of him? And don't... The next manager has to be a Hansi Flick type. Don't try and go hipster again. Potter was hipster. This was hipster. Just get a winner. Just get a winner. It's over. It's over with Pochettino. Love to hear your thoughts. MKT Inspires. Slide in the DMs. Instagram is always the best. Otherwise, I am on X. Otherwise, MKT at the MKT show. Whatever it is you're doing this week, I hope it goes well. And hold thumbs, whatever that means. Got a pretty cool week coming up. Hopefully got some stuff that'll roll forward. And hoping to have some announcements soon. There will be announcements soon. It takes longer than I thought. But there will be announcements soon regarding the show and much, much more. Got a hell of a summer coming up. Or I say summer because I'm going to be in Europe or in the Northern Hemisphere. Hell of a summer. Hell of a summer. Oh, a sports fan's dream. The Olympics. Got to make it happen. I do love it. It is one of my dreams to go to the Olympics. It is one of my dreams to go to the Olympics. So let's hope I can make it happen. You know what I mean? Although there is no hoping. There's doing. There is only doing. Like, I'll decide, I'd say, in the next month. But Euros, if you live in Germany, oh my goodness. Oh my. And by the way, when I go to football tournaments, I'm fully stuck in, guy. Fully in there. I'm fully invested. The Euros is going to be unbelievable. And by the way, you know, my dad lived in Germany. So some of my best years when I was younger were in Germany. I hadn't been back to Germany in years. In forever. Since my ex-girlfriend. She lives in Germany. Right? Although not German, but she lives there. When was I there? 2011? No? No. Maybe a bit after that. 13? 12? 12? 11? I don't know. Sometime then. Like way back. After the World Cup. And I was still drinking. So it would have been 11 or 12. Somewhere there. It was the last time I was in Germany. Oh, can't wait. Love it. Love the Germans. Love it. All about a good time. They're a little bit too serious. But when you find the good ones. I've never been to Berlin. Believe it or not. Never been to Berlin. So maybe I'll pop into Berlin. Well, I'll have to. For the final. Olympic Stadium. Gotta love it. All right, hope you have a great week, whatever it is you're doing. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is MKT. This has been the MKT Show. And for now, I am the hell out of here.